What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. Oh, excuse me. And this is our first, is this our first episode of 20? No, is it? Of 2025? Is this our first one?
Might be actually.
Might be. I don't remember. Regardless, it's our first or second episode of 2025, and we're coming at you with Brooke's pick of the month, and that is The Invisible Man from 2020.
It is their first because we released the mean one on December 31st.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right. So our first episode of 2025. So we have this whole theme planned out for this entire year, which is kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But before you picked this movie, before we even, well, before you even came up with this idea for the theme. So what made you initially pick this movie?
It's just been a while since I've seen it, and I remember liking it. I think we talked about it before on one episode. Briefly about how it was released in 2020, and I feel like it didn't really get the recognition it kind of deserved,
Yeah.
as you know, a lot of movies that were released that year. So,
That's true.
and oh, and Wolfman comes out this weekend.
Oh yeah, you did mention that. Yeah. Are you planning on going to see it?
Well, I'd rather watch Nosferatu first, but
Yeah, fuck, me too, man.
yeah.
Me too. Okay, so going back to this theme for the year, you came up with a wicked idea to get us talking about some more foreign movies. So for each quarter of the year, so every 3 month block, we're going to pick movies from one specific continent, right? Yeah. So given the fact that you had already picked The Invisible Man, this movie was filmed in Australia and the director is Australian. So we figured we would just start the year with an Australian theme.
And a lot of people probably forget that Australia is a continent and a country.
That is very true, yes. Yeah, so from now until the end of March, all of our episodes are going to be Australian movies. Right? That's the plan?
That's the
Okay.
plan,
Okay. But yeah, so kicking it off, Invisible Man 2020. Before we start talking about this movie, though, we'll kick off our news and boo. And what are you drinking tonight, sir?
I am just drinking my pumpkin whiskey mixed with some ginger ale.
How is that?
It's good, actually, yeah.
Yeah, okay, nice. I'm also drinking whiskey, just on the rocks though, some vanilla Crown
Nice.
Royal.
Nice.
And what have you been watching?
I think a few things. What was the other side? I finally watched the DVD you lent me of Cry Wolf. I think I've had it for about 5 years now.
Yeah, I think you have a stack.
I do have a decent stack, yeah. Pretty good movie. I haven't seen this in a very long time, so but kind of like typical 2000s slasher, you know. I watched Black Hawk Down, kind of getting through my movies to watch.
Oh
What?
my God, I see. I see what's coming next.
Yes. Finally rewatched Interstellar, gave it another watch. Movie is fucking masterpiece.
Yes. Yes, finally. Finally.
So for those who don't know, I've gave this movie a 2-star before. Just I don't know, I just But he wasn't in the right mindset. Wasn't, I don't know. I don't know why. They're just being grumpy old man. Just, I don't want to be like everyone else. But yeah, man, this movie is fucking a masterpiece, man.
It's so good.
And I forgot how fucking sad it is. I cried like
Oh
two
man,
times.
it is a very sad movie.
You do have to really pay attention to it, you know, because you're kind of the third act. It kind of does get very wonky, but I think he delivers. And Nolan, I am fucking so excited for The Odyssey. That's apparently it's like the biggest book story ever told. And I just think it's gonna be amazing.
I've always wanted to read that book, but it's so intimidating.
Watch the game. It's a good movie. A lot of twists and turns. Yeah, good one. Watched some 2024 movies. Watched Anora because everyone's kind of going crazy for it. I just thought it was good. I don't think it's like a best picture winner. I do think it will win some awards at the Oscars, but yeah,
It's
Mikey
got
Matt.
f Sorry, go
Sorry, go
ahead.
ahead. I was gonna say, just Mikey Madison is fucking amazing.
It's got five nominations, I saw.
Oh, does it? Yeah. Then watched a couple more with Sebastian Stan. Actually, I watched The Apprentice from last year, which is a Donald Trump biopic. Him in the 70s and 80s, kind of, you know, trying to step away from his father's shoes and kind of build his own empire and how he does it. I liked it. It's a good movie. Sebastian Stan and Jeremy Strong, fucking amazing. Then I watched A Different Man from last year. Also, I think this has been nominated for a bunch of Oscars as well, or nominations. I thought it was good. It's more of like a thriller. Yeah, it's pretty good. It was
Nice.
like a dollar to rent on Apple TV, so
Yeah.
yeah. So that's it.
Nice.
What about you?
What just happened there? Hold on. There it is. Okay. The boys and I watched the Super Mario Brothers movie while we did some Super
Nice.
Mario Legos. And then we also watched Transformers 1, which
Nice.
I really enjoyed. I liked it quite a bit. I would like to see them maybe do a sequel to this one as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think you could.
Oh, for sure. And then you had suggested an Anora to me, so I watched it as well. I really liked it.
Wow.
There's just something about it, and it's not the excessive nudity or anything. But no, like I texted you, like Mikey Madison did such an amazing job in this movie. I thought she fucking stole the show. And it was just so fucking chaotic in the second half. Well, actually, through the whole movie, but it really does shift its tone a little bit in the second half. And it's just like, oh my God, like this is crazy.
It was really funny, actually.
But yeah, I didn't watch a whole lot, but.
Nice.
It's got to get to that 10 movie mark so we can start tracking our stats for 2025.
I don't know where you already did.
You're already at 10?
Oh yeah, I'm at like 16 or something.
Jesus. What
Yeah.
am I at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 for me. Getting
Yeah,
there.
fucking, I was looking at my stats from last year. We still gotta record that episode, but I finished at 299 movies watched.
Oh, really?
One away from 300. So
You.
pissed.
You went on a tear at the end.
I did, yeah.
Because I, what did I finish with? Yeah, 195 for me.
Okay, yeah.
So significantly less. But oh well. It's okay. I was looking for news and like there's not a whole lot of crazy shit going on.
Did you watch the Until Dawn trailer?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did, yes.
And I'll have to check it out after.
So, I don't know, this is a hard video game. I feel like to kind of do, because it's all kind of make your own decisions. Like certain people can live, certain people can die. You can like change things, right? Different endings. So in the movie, they did a time loop movie
Oh, fuck. Of course they did.
of different. Each time loop is a different genre of horror movie.
Okay. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see how it pans out. What was it? Cillian Murphy won't appear in the first film of the 28 Years Later trilogy, despite everybody thinking that he was in the trailer. That was not actually him.
Yeah, no.
We have confirmation. This is from 5 or 6 days ago, but Welcome to Derry. We have confirmation that there's going to be 3 seasons, and each season's going to take
Damn.
place in 3 different eras. So we start at 65, and then it goes back in time 27 years to whatever year that is. And then back in time again to, I think it's 1905.
Oh, wow.
So each season's going to be 27 years before the last season. And I've read too that it's going to focus like a lot on the stuff that's in the book, but like the interludes in the book.
Okay. Nice. I'm
So,
sick about that because some of the interludes like were fucking terrifying, man.
Because in the interludes in the book, like that's where it focuses on a lot of the past shit, right?
Yeah.
So I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, with Skarsgård coming back and Andy Muschietti is directing it, so I have high hopes for this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, it's HBO and they very
Yeah.
rarely ever miss.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's all I have for news. Not a whole lot.
Nice. 4Ks. All right. So we got Snowpiercer on 4K. Sick ass steelbook.
That is sick.
Incubus. No idea what that is.
William Shatner.
Inglourious Basterds. It's a sick cover.
Nice.
Air Video. Once Upon a Time in the West. That is the old one. Chinatown. Jojo Dancer, Your Life is Calling. Richard Pryor, Criterion. And The Mother and the Whore on Criterion as well.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a short list.
It is, yeah.
It's all Criterion and Arrow.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess we can start this movie discussion once I get my notes up. There they are. All right. Like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about The Invisible Man from 2020, starting off with the synopsis. When Cecilia's abusive ex takes his own life and leaves her his fortune, she suspects his death was a hoax. As a series of coincidences turn lethal, Cecilia works to prove that she's being hunted by someone nobody can see.
Yep.
Everybody thinks she's crazy. This was directed by Lee Whannell, who has directed Insidious 3, Upgrade, the upcoming Wolfman movie, which is why you picked this. Upcoming The Green Hornet and Kato,
Oh, okay.
which I did not know
Interesting.
about.
Me either.
And then there's an Upgrade TV show that he's doing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pretty neat. He's obviously produced a whole bunch of shit too, and he's acted in a whole bunch of stuff. Like him and James Wan are really good friends. So they kind of collaborate a lot. But yeah, he doesn't have a huge resume, but his movies generally hit.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Wolfman and this Upgrade
Yeah.
TV show. I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
Going into the cast, we have Elizabeth Moss, plays Cecilia. My buddy at work today wanted to remind me that she has a five head and thinks that she looks like a Karen. Like, nice, thank you.
right.
Thanks for your input. Oliver Jackson Cohen plays Adrian. Aldous Hodge plays James, and Storm Reid plays Sydney. So it's not like a really big cast list. Like obviously Elizabeth Moss is pretty famous, but
Yeah.
everyone else is pretty
Yeah.
low key, I guess.
Yeah, I mean Oliver did Haunting of Hill House, right?
Yeah.
And Aldous Hodge has been kind of like in a few things, but nothing like, crazy.
Yeah, and Storm Reid was in Euphoria as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you have any honorable mentions? I didn't write any down.
No, I didn't know.
There wasn't really anyone of note. The guy who played, what's his name? Tom, the brother?
Oh, he was in Triangle.
Yeah. Which we did.
Oh, Benedict Hardy, he played Fisk in Upgrade.
Okay.
The architect that she has an interview with.
Yeah.
I think Fisk, I think he was the main bad guy, I think, in that movie.
Yeah. I need to rewatch that.
Yeah, me too.
That was a good movie. All right, cool. Well, let's fucking kick off this movie discussion.
It. Yeah, this right off the bat, these opening credits kind of gave me like A24 vibes,
Yeah.
very much so.
The
Like
waves kind
I was waiting for like the waves to come down and like A24 was there.
of. Yeah.
But I love these opening credits. I think they're so sick, man.
Lee Whannell said this was one of the hardest parts of the fucking movie to do was just these opening credits.
Really?
Yeah, he said it's you don't realize how hard CGI water is.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, so the movie opens up. We got our main girl, Cecilia. She is in bed with Adrian. It's about, I don't know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. We see Cecilia quietly getting out of bed, trying not to wake him. She gets some pills underneath her bed, diazepam pills, and I believe that she gave them to him, I think.
She does mention it later on in the movie.
Oh, does she? Yeah. Oh, yeah, she does. Yeah. She is escaping. We don't know why. You can just kind of assume that he's not a good guy. She hit a bag in the vent, and she kind of leaves the place, leaves the doggy alone by
Know, I felt
himself.
bad for this.
I know. I know. He's leaving. The car alarm goes off. She ends up getting over like this. His house is fucking massive. Like, this guy is loaded. Has like these like 8 foot high, I don't know, concrete fences around his mansion, and she gets over, and her sister is going to pick her up. And she gets picked up. She ends up dropping her pills, and Adrian just comes out of nowhere and just like yelling at her, like, "Unlock the door, Cecilia, you can't leave me." And she just fucking punches the window, breaks it, and like it just goes to show how fucking crazy this guy is.
My first time watching this movie, this scene fucking scared the shit out of me, man.
Yeah.
Because like I wasn't expecting it, and then it's all of
Yeah.
a sudden you see this guy just fucking beeline it right for the side of
Yeah.
the car. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that I think kind of drops the score for me a bit in this movie. It's not as it's as scary, but certain parts in the movie you kind of remember from like when it happened. So like the jump scares just don't get me like they did the first or second time I watched it. There's a couple scenes in here that I will mention, but you know it's happening, so like it doesn't have that shock, right? So it's 2 weeks later. Cecilia's staying at, I believe it's Emily's friend's house. I believe they're friends. James and Sydney, his daughter. We see that Cecilia is, still very messed up from this relationship. She will not leave the house, and kind of James, jokes with her like, "Hey, you still got a deal, I told your sister that I'd get you out of the house." And like she just has to walk down the driveway, get the mail, and walk back. And so she like goes outside and is very, sketched out, and gets to the mailbox, and you see some guy in like a black sweater hoodie just running towards her, and she just like, "Fuck this," goes back inside, and it's just someone taking a morning run, right? So
Yeah, you can understand her PTSD, right? But James is a cop, so he's, don't know, he wants to get her back out there to get her out of this, like, I don't want to say funk because PTSD is more than a funk, but just, I don't know, get her used to being outside again.
And then Emily shows up, and we see that, like, even though Emily came to help Cecilia, they don't have a good relationship. I think it's mostly Cecilia, like, not her fault. It's just like she was so fucked off from this relationship. We don't know exactly what happened, but she kind of cut Emily out of her life a bit, right? Like, Emily shows up, and Cecilia is like, "What the fuck are you doing here? Like, he could have followed you here." And she's like, "No, like, you need to calm the fuck down."
I feel like Adrian probably like forced her to like ostracize herself from anybody. Like I have a strong feeling like he didn't allow her to have friends and like she probably wasn't allowed to like call people and shit like that, judging by what we've seen of him.
But then she tells Cecilia, "Hey, you don't have to worry anymore. Adrian's dead. He committed suicide." And right away she's kind of very happy, but still kind of like is unsure, kind of like doesn't believe it. You learn that he was like a tech entrepreneur, and that he wanted to get her pregnant, and she knew that if she got pregnant, she'd never be able to leave him. So she was taking birth control without him knowing. And then she gets a letter in the mail, which I don't know how they knew that she was here, but it's the brother of Adrian, who is Adrian's estate attorney, I guess. So she finds out that he's given her $5 million of his all his money, basically, right? And she's putting $10,000 in Sydney's account each month for her to go to college. And then just the shit starts happening, man. And this is like the one thing that I just really applaud. I almost said James Wan. Lee Whannell for the intensity and kind of that feeling that someone is there is done so fucking well in this movie. Like, you feel her PTSD, right? In coming into you, you're looking at the background like she's talking to someone. You're just like looking behind her, like looking around the room, like something moved. Oh my God, is that Adrian, right?
There's so many different aspects of this movie that create that tension too. Like Lee Whannell's direction for sure, the cinematography, like how just out of nowhere, the camera will like pan around the room and it'll like focus on a certain thing in the room. And you're just sitting there staring at it like, okay, can I see anything? Is anything moving? Like, why are they focusing on this one part of the room?
Like this one scene at the beginning when she goes in the room, she's making a call or something, but she's on the left side of the room. The camera pans all the way to the right side out of her focus and is sitting on just stuff for like 10 seconds. And I'm like, okay, this thing is here, this thing is here, this thing is here. It goes back. I'm looking behind, like, okay, did anything move out of the spot? Like,
That's the way I
it's,
was too.
yeah.
And like not only like that too, but like Elizabeth Moss's acting in this movie, she fucking sold it, man.
She's unreal. I think she did take a bit of her character from The Handmaid's Tale, into this movie. But yeah, she did such a good job. So we see, I think James is leaving for the night. Sydney and her are staying together. She is making, oh, James is going to work, I think, the next morning, and
Yes, yeah, morning, yeah.
Cecilia is gonna make her breakfast. She has some eggs, and right off the bat, like, the camera is on this like open style kitchen, and Cecilia gets called away, and the camera stays in this kitchen, and there's a knife on the counter. It just falls, it's gone. And then you're like, it's quiet, and you're like, and then you see the flame where the pot is, it kind of goes up a bit more, and you see like the fucking bacon or whatever catching on fire, and it's like, yeah, I don't know, it's so creepy.
So good, yeah.
So it's nighttime now. I think she's alone. Sydney, I think, is in bed. And what do you think of this scene of where the front door just opens and she goes outside in the cold air?
Yeah. First of all, why?
Yeah.
I hate that in fucking movies, man. If the front door is shut, why are you going outside? Or
Yeah,
open, I
true.
mean. What happens in the cold air?
She's like sitting outside on the porch, standing there, and she's breathing. You see her like breath in the cold air. And then the camera's on her, just beside her. You see a breath
Another
go by,
breath.
and you're like,
That's right.
holy fuck.
I don't, the way that they shoot these too, because I was reading the trivia and the Invisible Man was somebody that was just in a total green suit and they edited him out. So it's just what they were able to do with these effects and just make it look so real and believable and super fucking creepy too.
Yeah.
Like there's some scenes later on where it's just like, I don't know how the fuck you did this.
Yeah. Like this scene coming up when they're in bed and they're just lying there sleeping, and you just see the bed sheets just pull off of them. And then like Celia wakes up and the blanket's gone and she's like, what the fuck? And oh, there's like flashing lights going on too, and I think she like gets up and she can like feel, I think, like someone's presence because like he's invisible, but still you can get that feeling, right?
Oh,
Have
yeah,
like
for
have your gut
sure.
feeling like something's not right.
Yeah, like I'm not alone in this room.
And so like the camera pans to this chair in this like moonlight, and she's just staring at it, and then she throws the blanket on and like it doesn't, no one's there, and you're like, oh, okay. And then she's about to go to bed, and she starts pulling the sheet, and it fucking won't move. The fuck is going on? Pulls it, doesn't fucking move. And then you see like the blanket go down, and that she's like freaks the fuck out, and she starts yelling for James, right?
Yeah, it goes down like because someone's standing on the other end of it, and you
Yeah.
can see like the foot indentations
I would have
on the
thrown the
ground.
blanket the other way on top of him.
Yeah, I might have started fucking throwing. Just fuck
Yeah, yeah,
you.
yeah, yeah. But yeah, really well done scenes of those. So the next day she's applying for a job to be for an architect kind of firm. You know, it's going really well, and the guy's like, well, can I see some of your work? And she has her big portfolio binder. It's like, yeah, of course. Opens it, fucking completely empty. Sorry. And he's like, oh, it's okay, just send it to me. And she's like, no, like I knew they were in here. And then she starts like kind of freaking out, and she passes out, and she gets to the hospital, they did drug tests, and they found out that she had a whole bunch of diazepam in her system. I think at this point, does she see the bottle when she gets home with the diazepam?
No, I don't think that's till a little bit later, I think.
Okay. But at this point, she knows that it's Adrian that's doing this. She's telling James and Emily that he's not dead. Oh no, she's at, no, she is meeting with Tom first, the attorney. And she tells him like, okay, stop joking around. This is Tom. This is Adrian. And he's like, no, that's his ashes right over there. And she, you know, still denying it, and she's saying about how like he was like, you know, this narcissist, sociopath, and a piece of shit. And
Master
Tom,
manipulator.
yeah, Tom was like, you know, I hated my brother too, and when I found out he was dead, I was happy. And I gotta give credit to Tom because Tom played this whole fucking role so well, like
Yeah,
not
he's
like
good.
acting wise, but like because what you find at the end is like, you know, he was also a part of this whole thing, and he's playing this part so well, right? He shows her pictures of Adrian dead, so yeah. She goes to her sister's house, and Emily's kind of pissed off. She's like, oh, I'm surprised you're fucking here. That email I got, and she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they get into this big fight. Then she gets home and she sees the email that Adrian sent to her. It's this fucking huge ass email, saying, I don't need you in my life, all the
I
stuff,
wish it
right?
was you that died.
Yeah,
It's like, Jesus.
crazy. How about the scene with her and Sydney about to have a girls' night?
The slap?
Yeah.
Jesus, man. So this scene is kind of like the downfall of Cecilia and James's friendship. 'Cause what's her name? Sydney. She comes into Cecilia's room and Cecilia's like bent over doing something,
Crying and stuff.
crying. And then Cecilia or Sydney bends over and she takes her eyes off of Cecilia and just out of nowhere fucking gets smacked across the face and knocked on her ass. So obviously she thinks that it was Cecilia that did it. So she starts screaming and crying. She's got blood coming out of her nose. And then James comes in and he's like basically telling her, like, you need to leave. My first priority now is my daughter's safety and you're kind of taking that away. Like, you're making this an unsafe place for her. So they end up leaving and he lets her stay there that night, I think. And then he wants
Yeah,
her out the next day.
because he tells her to go to her sister's, but she obviously can't go to her sister's place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that slap, that sound was done so well.
Oh yeah, it sounded like she legit got slapped.
So yeah, she's home alone by herself and she's telling James that she's leaving. She's like, this is what Adrian does. He tries to get me alone and he just fucking fucks my life up. So she's, at this point, her mind is fucking gone. Like she's batshit crazy, which, she has all the right to be because this fucking invisible guy's messing with her. But she starts putting coffee grounds on the floor and, she's like scared, but I think she's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like she's kind of been through so much. She knows how to deal with Adrian.
Yeah, she's hardened a little bit.
But then she decides, oh, I'm gonna try calling a cell phone. So she calls it and you hear like this vibrating and then she's like, what the fuck? And she looks up and his cell phone's in the attic. Now, at this point, I don't know if I'd go in the attic, but also, who are you gonna call is gonna believe all this shit that you're saying, right?
That's the problem, right? You can't. And Adrian knows this. He knows that he can fuck with her as much as he wants, and not a single person's going to believe anything that she says.
So she gets up in the attic. She finds his cell phone. She sees the pictures of her and Sydney in bed the night when he was fucking with them. There's a knife in a bag, which I didn't understand that.
One of the nights she grabbed that knife. She grabbed that knife out of the drawer, and I think she left it on the counter. So he grabbed it.
But why is it in that clear bag?
I think it's just another fucking
So weird.
tactic, right?
And her portfolio is also up there. And also, whenever Adrian is nearby, you can kind of hear this like click, very low, faint clicking sound. Because on this suit, it's like cameras all on the suit that make him visible, which is like, I don't exactly know how it works, to be honest, but this one scene, this was like the one scene that scared the fuck out of me the first time I saw it.
Oh yeah.
But now that I know it happens, like this is the one scene I remember from the movie, right? It doesn't have that same effect at all. It's still a very cool scene, but the first time it happened, it scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah, 'cause she can hear this clicking and she has that, like how we talked about before, like she can sense that someone's there. So she's kind of looking around, and again, the cinematography and the tension building in this scene is fucking top tier, 'cause she's looking around and you think like, fuck, okay, he's gonna jump out of a fucking dark corner somewhere or something's gonna happen in this attic. And then I don't, does she hear something on the ladder going up to the attic?
I think
Or does
she
she just.
hears it down there or something.
Yeah. So she grabs this can of paint
Yeah.
and opens it and throws this paint down the ladder, and then
Yeah.
all of a sudden fucking he's right there. But it's
Yeah.
just like it's just a white paint silhouette over top of this suit.
Yeah.
And it like, yeah, I'm like you. The first time I watched this, man, I fucking jumped out of my skin at this scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely doesn't have the same effect, but it's still such a fucking awesome scene. And this is one of the ones where I was saying earlier, like, I don't know how the hell they shot that.
This one shot, maybe my favorite shot in the whole movie. It's the cameras at like the bottom of the ladder, and it's pointed up the ladder, and it has like the square atticle. You just see her head come through, and she's staring down. Like, it just looks amazing. Just a simple fucking shot. Yeah, so she dumped the paint on his head. She goes down there, and she hears the faucet is on. And she goes over there, and there's like all this paint in the sink. And Betty just beats the fuck out of her. And she's fighting back. She's like grabbing plates or like breaking in like midair because he's invincible. And she's kind of fighting back, but then she ends up running outside, and she calls an Uber, and the Uber, she's going back to his house. Now I'm gonna kind of cut to the very end, and kind of talk about the ending, about what happened, and we'll come back and talk about the other scenes. I forgot about this part, about the ending of how it ended. So we find out that Tom was in the suit, at least at the very end, whenever Cecilia ends up killing him and revealing the mask, and that's Tom. That blew my mind. I was like, holy fuck. And then you find out that Adrian was actually alive, and he was locked up in the basement. That the cops are saying that Tom tied him up and was doing this. But Cecilia knows that Adrian was the one that was doing it, and Tom was helping her, and Adrian sold out his brother. So do you think this is kind of a Scream type scenario?
Where there's two of them?
Yeah. Or do you think for most of the movie it is Adrian and Tom is the only one at the end of the movie?
I think it's both of them because we know that he has two suits, right?
But she stole the second one though, right?
Yeah, but there was.
More than two?
No, I think there was two for sure.
Because when she goes back to the house, now she takes the suit that's there, that's hanging up, and hides it.
So that's why I think that they were each had their own suit. And Tom's was the one that was hanging up in the house that she
Okay.
stole.
Right.
Or not Tom's, Adrian's, because it's
Right.
Adrian's house, right?
Yeah.
So I think that they were working together. And then maybe once they found out that the second suit was missing, because obviously they would have known that. Maybe that's when they staged this whole thing where Adrian was tied up in
Right.
the
Yeah.
basement or attic or whatever
Yeah. That's good. I like that. Yeah.
to kind of make it look like it was Tom all
And
along.
kind of the one thing that kind of gave it away for me that Adrian was still alive is that they left the dog in this house for like 4 weeks. Because she kept going back to the house, the dog was still there, and it's like, okay, all of his furniture is like covered up. There's clearly no one living there. Why is the dog still here? Yeah, so she ends up hiding the suit, and Adrian is there in that he gets to the house at the same time. Now, why wouldn't he kill the Uber driver that's out front?
Is he like, does he really have a need to?
Well, she's gonna get away.
Yeah, but I think he wants her to get away. He wants this cat and mouse. He wants to continue fucking with her.
Right,
Because
because the next scene hasn't happened yet.
I think he gets off on this shit.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So I think this is all just a big game for him.
But what is Tom getting out of it? Is he just doing it because his brother, like Cecilia says a whole bunch, he's a very convincing and, guy that will do anything to get his own way.
Realistically, Tom's probably getting a boatload of fucking money
Yeah, true.
to have a part in all this.
Yeah.
Like staging his death and then helping him mess around with her.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Adrian ever has the intention of killing her.
No, because we find out that she's pregnant,
But he
which
doesn't know that
they does.
until the very end.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought that. Okay.
Maybe he does, because he's always around, right?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't even find out that she's pregnant until, like, right towards the end, too, right?
Because I was wondering that because, yeah, because when, so she's been away from Adrian for like at least 4 weeks now, right? And when the nurse says, oh, we did your blood test yesterday, like, you didn't tell me you were pregnant. And then she's like, well, I didn't know I was pregnant. And the nurse was like, we can't tell how, when it was, but I think it was very recent. So it was like how recent, like right before she left, like recent, or like did he like fucking inseminate her like when she was fucking sleeping and he was invisible, like,
Maybe it was the night that she left. Maybe they had sex the night that she left.
oh, maybe, 'cause you find out that he switched out her birth control for it. But anyway, we gotta talk about this scene when she meets her sister for dinner.
Dude.
When this scene first happened, this was like honestly up there for like top like what the fuck moments. Did not expect that at
Oh
all.
man, it was so good. Yeah, because Cecilia finally convinces Emily to like meet up with her, and she wants to meet her in a public place, so they meet at this restaurant, and it's they're like at this table in the middle of the whole restaurant. It's like a two-person table in the middle of the restaurant, and Cecilia's explaining everything to her, like Adrian's like a world leader in optics. Like, I fully believe that he is capable of figuring out a way how to become invisible, and he's been fucking with me this whole time. And Emily's like starting to believe her.
Yeah, like Cecilia's about to tell her how and like what he does like for work. 'Cause like no one really knows what Adrian does. They just know that he's this fucking genius, right?
And like the waiter keeps coming back, and Emily keeps saying, like, give us a minute, like, give us a few minutes, like, we need some time, like, leave us the fuck alone, basically. And then, so as Cecilia is talking, the camera is on Emily's face, and you see Emily's eyes kind of pan over Cecilia's shoulder, and the camera spins around to Cecilia, and you just see a fucking knife up in the air, and it's like, oh shit. And is all of a sudden slices Emily's throat right there in the middle of the fucking restaurant.
And it's so quick because he slices the throat, instantly puts it in Cecilia's hand. Like, so quick that no one would be able to see it happen.
So then everybody in the restaurant thinks Cecilia did this because she's sitting there holding a fucking knife in her hand.
But I do gotta say, why the fuck is there that big of a knife in the restaurant unless Adrian brought it with him?
That's a kitchen knife, man. Like
That, yeah,
that's
that's
not
true.
a steak knife that you get at the keg.
Unless it's like a fucking
Mm-hmm.
70-ounce steak in Texas you're eating or something. But yeah, that's again one scene. Like, I think like first watch for me, like I'd like give this movie like a 4.5, honestly, because like just yeah. So now Cecilia's in the psych hospital. Adrian, you think is there, but like this movie is like you're so in that same headspace as Cecilia. You're just looking at an empty doorway, and you're like, he's fucking standing there. I know he is. It's like, is he actually there? James is one of the ones investigating her, which I feel like he shouldn't be. I don't know.
In a way, it's a conflict of interest, but at the same time, like, she trusts him. And I feel like he really wants to be the one to help her out.
She finds out she's pregnant, and then she's visiting Tom, and Tom's kind of going over how in the clause of this estate, there was two rules: that you couldn't commit a crime or be charged for a crime, and you had to be in a, I don't know, mental capacity or something like that. And he says, you know, so I'm sorry, but payments are going to be stopping. And you know, you think he's being sincere, right? And he's like, I also heard that you're giving this money to someone for their college fund. That's going to suck to tell them you're not getting it, or they're not getting it. And he's like, but we can make this all go away. What do you mean? And this is where the movie flips again. And he's like, Tom knew you were taking, or not Tom, Adrian knew you were taking birth control. And she's like, kind of like shocked. She's like, I was taking birth control. And he's like, it was just placebo birth control or something like that. And he says, if you have this baby, then Adrian will stop. And she's like in shock, right? She's like, holy fuck. And so she like throws the papers off, and she steals a pen out of his briefcase. And he's like, you know, tell me now, or make a decision now. But yeah, I'll be back. And then she's, you know, getting ready for bed. Nurse leaves, and she takes the pen out from the shower, and it's like one of those, I don't know what kind of pen it is, the sharp pens with like the fucking ink that,
Yeah,
whatever.
like an inkwell kind
Yeah.
of pen.
And she fucking puts a pen to her arm, and she's like, you can't have this baby, and you can't have me either, or something like that. She starts like fucking cutting her arm, but all of a sudden, like, you see her fucking hand stop, and Adrian's trying to fight her, and she just fucking takes the pen, stabs him like four times. And then this scene kind of did take me out of the movie a bit, honestly. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, okay, this is fucking sick. But, like, is this guy fucking Superman? So she's in the hallway, and these security guys are chasing her and stuff and trying to get her. And Adrian kills like fucking 12 people.
And they just keep coming. They just
But it's
keeps.
not like in like a kind of like believable, like a man fighting a man. Like, these people are getting like their fucking necks broke, fucking their noses punched up in their skull, and he's just like kicking ass. But it's like, does this guy have like superhuman strength in this suit? Like, what's happening?
He's just like a fucking jujitsu master.
But what do you think of that scene?
I agree. Like, I like the scene where he stops her from killing herself.
Yeah.
I think that scene was super cool. But
Yeah.
yeah, once they get back out into the hallway and it's just like chaos with all the guards coming out, like they keep coming out in like groups of two or groups of three, and
Yeah.
he just demolishes all of them
Yeah.
and doesn't like. You don't see him, but like doesn't even break a sweat.
Yeah.
Now, given he does have the advantage of invisibility, so
Yeah.
they come in and they don't see him anywhere, and then he can just
Yeah.
attack them at free will. But
Yeah.
it just, yeah, it's just a little too much. Like I could understand like if he killed like two or three guards,
Yeah.
but the way that they keep coming out and the way that he's killing them, it just, yeah, I'm with you. It kind of takes you out of the scene a little bit.
Like, why kill all these guards? Because, like, you know, there's security cameras in this hallway. Clearly, she's not the one that's killing
Yeah.
them, right?
She's still sprawled out on the floor.
Yeah. I did like the scene outside in the rain. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. Because the suit's like kind of malfunctioning now, right? Now that she stabbed him.
Yeah.
So she's damaged the suit, and then he goes outside, and the rain is kind of making it malfunction a little bit too. Like
Yeah.
he's still invisible, but every once in a while you'll see like a flicker of him.
So he ends up like pinning her up against like a ambulance, and he tells her, like, you're gonna have this baby, or I'm gonna go after the rest of your family. And she doesn't have any family. So he says, you know, I'm gonna go after Sydney or whatever, the little girl. So he ends up like shoot another cop, but then leaving. And she chases after him, and he's going to James's house, and she calls James, and James is like, what the fuck? You shouldn't be talking to me right now. And she's like, where are you? And he's like, I'm at work. And she's saying, you need to get to Sydney. I think she's in trouble. Then meanwhile, the house, we get another, creepy scene. Sydney is just sitting in her bed alone, sleeping, and then she kind of like wakes up suddenly, and she's like kind of startled. You don't see anything there, but I think she knows that someone is there, right? And she just reaches in her purse, puts up some pepper spray, and just fucking sprays. And then it's like kind of like silent for like a second or two, and then just like fucking stuff is like falling over, and she like starts screaming and runs away. And yeah, what do you think of this kind of like last scene with James and all them?
I liked it, but the whole pepper spray thing, like we've seen this suit and it's like full body, like your face is covered up and everything. So like how does the pepper spray affect it?
That's true.
Affect him?
Actually, I didn't think of
Because
that.
his face is completely covered up with this suit. But
Yeah.
then so she's screaming and then James comes running in. And James gets his fucking ass handed to him.
I was pissed at Sydney. Like, he's getting
Why?
his ass beat,
And she's
and
not doing
Sydney is
anything?
just not doing anything. Like, I know it's
Yeah.
fucking scary. Some invisible guy is
Yeah.
beating up your dad, but James is like almost dead, right? Like, he doesn't kill James, but he probably could have.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Sydney could have done something.
But then Cecilia comes in with the fire extinguisher, and she sprays him, and then she ends up shooting him because she can see light. And then she takes off the mask, and it's fucking Tom.
Yeah. See, and this is why I think that there's two killers, right? Because think Adrian was at the hospital and Tom was at the house because she stabbed the fuck out of that person at the hospital, right?
Yeah.
And Tom doesn't have any stab wounds.
And his suit wasn't kind of
Wasn't
malfunctioning.
damaged. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe he did have three suits then.
Yeah. I mean, he probably could have, honestly.
Yeah.
So now it's sometime later. We don't really know exactly when, but Cecilia ends up calling Adrian, and she is going to dinner with him. And she's, sitting at the dinner table, and he's kind of like, oh, I'm sorry that I treated you that way when we were together and stuff like that. And she's like, the only way you're going to see this baby is if you tell me the truth of exactly what happened and what you did. And he's kind of like, it was
Denying
Tom, it
everything.
wasn't Tom, done everything. Also before this, James is talking to Cecilia, like getting interviewed after the whole thing, and she is still saying like, this wasn't Tom, this was Adrian. And James isn't believing her, but then she kind of, I think, does convince him, because like he didn't believe any of the stuff that she was saying, but then he got his ass beat by Invisible Man, right?
Yeah,
So I
exactly.
think like kind of a part of him needs to like kind of side with Cecilia. So he's kind of tapped into his security camera. So he's listening in on the conversation they're having and trying to get him to admit that he did that. But then he doesn't. And Cecilia starts crying, and she says, could I go, clean myself up? So he's like, yeah. And then he's sitting at the table, and beside him, you see a knife pop up invisible. And he's just like, ah, oh, fuck. And then just slices his throat, and she ends up coming back. And she's like, sees the camera, like goes back. And then, like, she's like hiding the camera, and she says, like, surprise. And then he dies, and she goes out. She calls the cop saying, oh, someone's committing suicide. And James runs in, and he's like with her, and she's like, oh, he committed suicide. He took the knife to his throat. There's camera footage of it all and stuff like that. And he looks down and sees the suit in her bag. And then I forget
He
what does
says
she
like
say? What does she say to him?
he says something about how you had no intentions of
Oh, wait,
something.
you had no intentions of the tap working or something like that.
Yeah, oh, you had no intentions of getting him to confess.
Yeah.
So, But like James knows, like, this is what her plan is,
Yeah,
and then
because
he just
she
lets her
says something
go.
like, oh, I think he committed suicide, like you knew he did, or something like that. And then he's like, yeah, he did commit suicide. So he's, he knows that she killed him, but I think that he knows, he believes Cecilia, right? That's it.
Nice.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Alrighty. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
All right. How did you rate this movie?
For quality, I'll give it a 9 out of 10. I think this is a very well made and acted movie. I think everyone did a fantastic job. I mean, really, there was only, maybe three people who really were acting greatly in this movie. I thought, like we mentioned, the cinematography, the effects and the feel of this movie was done really well. The directing was fantastic. Just overall, I think this is a really well made movie. So 9 out of 10. And for story, I'd give it a 6 out of 10. I just think there's too many questions and plot holes. And like maybe it's like, yeah, stupid kind of questions, but I think a lot of like unanswerable questions and kind of like plot holes about certain things. I did like most of the characters in this movie. Yeah, so 9 out of 10 and a 6 out of 10.
My quality, I gave it a 10 out of 10.
Nice.
I just think, like, all the points that you hit, like, I think the acting was amazing, the cinematography was great. I loved what they were able to do with these effects, and like the whole paint scene and the knives in the air and just all the stuff that happened, plus the insanely well done tension scenes
Yeah.
where you're just constantly looking around on the screen trying to figure out why they're focusing on this one thing when realistically they're not, like, there's
Yeah.
nothing happening.
Yeah.
They just want you to look there and
Yeah.
think that something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So I think they did an amazing job with that. Story, I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Like, honestly, like, the story, it's really not anything groundbreaking or different, right?
Yeah.
Like an abusive husband, okay, she manages to escape, cool, okay, that's happened before. Like the twist of him, like, not actually being dead and like there being two killers, like, it was good. That's why the story is a little bit higher
Yeah.
than what it would have been if those twists weren't in there. But just overall, it's a good story, but it's nothing overly special.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the script and the acting and everything like that, I thought it was really good. So yeah, 10 out of 10
Nice.
is 7 out of 10 for me.
Voice.
Right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they score. The critics' consensus: smart, well acted, and above all, scary. The Invisible Man proves that sometimes the classic source material for a fresh reboot can be hiding in plain sight.
Nice. I like
I like that too.
that.
So, based off that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'm pretty guaranteed this is certified fresh from what I remember. I'm gonna say like a 86.
You're too low.
Ooh.
They gave this a 91%.
Wow, okay, nice.
That's on 423 reviews and an average score of 7.7 out of 10. The audience score was an 84% on 10,000 ratings and an average score of 4.1 out of 5, or an 8.2 out of 10.
Letterboxd has a 3.4 out of 5. I gave it a 3.5. You gave it a 4. Jess from HMC gave it a 3.5. Who else? Tawny gave it a 2 out of 5.
Ooh, damn, Tawny.
Jensen gave it a 4 out of 5. Scream and Cinema gave it a 4 out of 5. Slash and Captain 3.5 out of 5. A couple more somewhere. A lot of people have logged this movie. Anthony gave it a 4 out of 5 as well. I think that's it. Yeah.
pretty much a 3.5 to a 4. Not bad. Not bad. All right, you ready for the scare section?
Sir.
What did you give this first scare rating?
This is based on like my, I don't know, third watch of this movie. So I'm gonna say a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I think it was like my first watch, would probably say like a 9 out of 10, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we've already mentioned multiple times, just the tension and the way that some of the scenes were filmed, it's just very creepy. Like not like jump scares. Like there is jump scares, but for me, like after the first watch, you already know what's coming. So, but just yeah, the tension and kind of the way the scenes were filmed was done really well. So 7 out of 10. Scary scene. I'll say the paint scene because just the first time I watched it, that really just scared the fuck out of me. So I'll
Yeah.
go with that one. And would I survive? That's tough. So I feel like I would have done things differently, but I probably can't even win a fight against someone who is visible, so I'm gonna say no.
All right, that's fair. I gave it a 6 out of 10. On this watch, yeah, solely based on the tension. And like you said, though, like on a first watch, this is going to be a lot higher. But yeah, those tension building scenes, I think they're done so perfectly that this, it just has you on the edge of your seat. And there's like certain scenes where like the hair's just standing up on end on your arms and shit. It's just like, it's super creepy. They did a really good job with that. Scary scene. I was gonna say the scene in the attic, but I will go with that car scene where Tom comes running out of the bushes.
Okay,
And just because that one and the paint scene got me the first time I watched it, so
yeah,
I'll go with that one.
nice,
And would I survive? I said no. Like how did you survive against somebody that you can't see? Like they can do whatever the fuck they want. And you're fucked.
yeah.
Like the fact that anyone survived in this movie is surprising. And I think the only people that survived were the ones that he wanted to survive, right? Because
Yeah.
he could have killed Sydney, he could have killed James, he
Yeah.
could have killed Cecilia. Like he easily could have killed those three, but he left them alive. He decided to leave them alive. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I would die in this movie.
Yeah.
All right. That wraps it up.
Yeah.
My turn to pick a movie. I was gonna pick one of the obvious ones because I like there's two or three that we're obviously gonna do within these first 3 months. But the whole point of us doing this theme was to kind of branch out and to get some maybe lesser known movies talked about a little bit. So I decided to pick Wormwood from 2014.
I've definitely heard of this movie.
I think you've definitely seen the poster for
It's spelled like WYRM, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like a Mad Max zombie apocalypse type movie.
That's funny because the tagline on this one poster said Mad Max meets Dawn of the Dead.
Ah, there you go. It's
I've
perfect.
definitely heard of it, so I'm excited.
Yeah, because I was looking through a list and I was like, fuck, like, we're definitely going to do this one. We're definitely going to do this one. Probably going to do this one. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go with one
I guess
that's.
there's three of them actually.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
So this one's called Wormwood Road of the Dead.
Yeah, that's the one.
All right, I'm excited.
I watched it back when it first came out, but I don't really remember anything about it, so
All
it's
right,
gonna be like
cool.
a first watch.
Nice.
But yeah, in the meantime, you guys can catch us on social media at a podcast on Elm Street on YouTube, on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. And if you click the link in our Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Discord or to holy fuck to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Good pick for for our first movie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited to do this whole year-long theme. I think it's
Yeah.
gonna be fun.
Yeah, me too. Cool.
All right.
All right. Well, talk to you guys later.